Welcome to Talking Walking, hosted by Andrew Stuck from Rethinking Cities and the Museum of Walking. Talking Walking brings you interviews with people from the world of walking, artists, activists, professionals, and those of us who have a passion for just taking a walk. In 2010, Jonathan Stalls walked from Delaware to California, crossing the United States on foot in 242 days. Quite an endeavour, but it pales beside what he's achieved in the last 10 years. He's the founder and creator of Walk to Connect, walking beside thousands of people. It began in his home state of Colorado and has expanded to several states and even to the UK. It encourages people to walk or roll together at an unhurried pace, to connect more closely with one another and their surroundings, in turn building their appreciation of the environment and opening their eyes to the obstacles faced by pedestrians. In this extended interview, our first undertaken on Zoom a month before the COVID pandemic struck, we explore intrinsic paths and pedestrian dignity, Jonathan's new creative endeavours, and look into the future at what he anticipates he'll be working on in the next 20 years. What you've created with Intrinsic Paths is something that can be done remotely, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Very much.
Okay, so can you try and explain what Intrinsic Paths is all about?
So for me, as I've just only spent more and more and more time just walking with all kinds of different people, walking through so many different landscapes, you know, what I've found to be really, really valuable and really needed in a time where the automobile is continuing to, oh my gosh, from built environment to pace of life to the things that we can fit in our day to earth disconnection, human disconnection. Intrinsic Paths is really meant to just be this kind of artistic, creative experimenting, if you will, around walking invitation and several other things, but specific to walking invitation. It's so the term intrinsic being what is natural, what is complete within us. So bringing what is on the inside out and connecting it with the outside world. So with people, with planet, and doing that through walking.
And you've created a 12-week course in which you invite people to take a different walk and follow different techniques, or are they how does the program work?
So it's a series of different things. One workshop that I did create this last fall that I'm doing both in person, but then I have it online virtually, is what's called the Ways of Walking workshop. And so there's 12 different themes. You know, you can do them weekly, monthly, whenever you want to fit it in. Because right now it's self-guided, so you can go in and kind of work through it at your own pace. I also offer some of those themes just in person and kind of host gatherings around it, so we can actually like walk together around the specific theme. You know, but a couple examples of the themes are walking as relationship, walking as human dignity, walking as resistance to speed, walking as humility, walking as vulnerability, walking as presence, walking as rite of passage, walking as mystery. So I'm trying to I'm taking these themes and I'm kind of going deeper into our most inherent way of getting around, you know, at an unhurried pace, and trying to kind of peel back like this is why we should be doing this more and more and more, and why we are made to be doing this. And here's things that get lost if we're not doing this.
Do people listen to this actually out on a walk? Are they listening to, do they download an audio, or is it something they read off the screen?
Yeah, thank you for asking that. So right now, as an artist, I'm somebody who's creating all the time around many of these things through drawing, poetry, walking practices, all these things. So one of the main tools that I use it's called Patreon, and it's a way for people to become a member or someone who's moving alongside my creative work. And so right now the workshop is on Patreon. So it's like, it could be $2 a month, $5 a month. And as long as you want to stay as you're working through the workshop. And so to your question, it's exactly that. There's audios. So there's audio. I use meditation a little bit as a way to kind of ground walking experiences. So I would say half of the themes have either video or walk or audio, introduction and invitation. And then there's also very specific practices with each of the themes, things to think about as you create your route, things to think about in terms of what you bring with you on your route, just reflecting pieces, places where you should go or consider going, how much time, different seasons, different times of day. And then with each theme, there's also kind of this larger walking assignment, which is just a little more, it just gets a little more in the weeds of like, if I want to move through this and really protect time for, let's say, the theme walking as rite of passage, and then I craft this assignment around like, okay, here's how you can invest. Here's some tips and tools and invitation around protecting 1, 2, 5 days for really walking into this theme of rite of passage. I also include a lot of resources, different articles, different writers, and then just some additional kind of artistic, poetic content to kind of go around it.
Of the 12 packages, how long does each take to complete?
It really depends on who's witnessing it, who's going through it. So I'm really sensitive to meeting people to the best that I can right where they are, that you could build these practices into your daily commutes around your office or around your home. It's not just certain locations. So what I've learned in doing it is a couple weeks, like to hold a theme for a week or two feels like a good time frame. That way you're not trying to force anything. That way you can really integrate the practices. You can re-listen to the audio or the video to kind of ground different things you're experiencing. And then you really have time to think about how you can build in time, protect time, and honor the walking assignment that goes with each theme.
Okay, so what I'm really intrigued about here is this is something you're offering, which in a sense is inviting people to walk in a sort of solitary fashion. While yet all the things I've read about you and all the things I think I know about what you've been doing have been actually getting people to come together and walk together. Am I right in saying that your background, your history is getting people to come together?
Yeah, you know, it's both. It's all of it. It's all of it woven together. And you're absolutely right that so much of my efforts previous to Intrinsic Paths, specifically through Walk to Connect, was centered on human connection through walking. And these, you know, human connection to others, to the places they live, to themselves, but really, really getting into the connection to others piece. With Intrinsic Paths and with this Ways of Walking workshop, there's several of the practices, several of the walking assignments. For example, in the Walking as Human Dignity theme, it's really encouraged to move with, for example, someone who is different than you are, someone who's different than I am, and to just invite a different way for how we make human connection and how we understand each other, like shoulder to shoulder, kind of as you started this off, like, you know, you and I are talking virtually, but you and I could easily be having this conversation while moving in a park, right next to each other, heart to heart, center to center, under our true ceiling. And so the how around how we understand people who are different than we are is so rooted in the practices around some of the themes in the workshop. So it's not just solitary. It's all of it woven together. It's looking at, we are made to be moving with each other. We are made to be moving with all that's going on within us. And we are made to be moving in an unhurried way throughout our surroundings.
Over the last 10 years, you've been doing lots and lots of things around walking. And to cover the whole 10 years and the number of things you've been involved in would take a very long interview. So first off, I mean, it was 2010. Is it right that you walked across the States?
Yes.
So maybe you could tell us just briefly what prompted you to undertake such an endeavor.
Yeah. you know, so kind of going back a little bit to just even just kind of explaining intrinsic paths in some way, I was feeling really disconnected. I moved every 2 years of my life. I went from one, I went to 15, 16 different schools as a kid. And so I was always on the go. I was always in this floating stance and never really felt grounded. This question of, do I have what it takes, started to surface more and more. And I don't know that I would have put all those words, I wouldn't have those exact words, that I do now, but back then there was this growing kind of gap inside of me. Like, do I have what it takes? Do I have what it takes to be strong? Do I have what it takes to be courageous? Do I have what it takes to love who I am, to get to know this planet, to live and survive outside of walls and cars and the systems that have been so dominant around me. And I couldn't answer that question. There was fear, there was insecurity. And, I stumbled across a couple movies and fell into this amazing book by Peter Jenkins called Walk Across America. When I landed on that book, my life just spilled out from all my edges. And I read that book in 2 days, canceled all the classes that I had because I was finishing college at that stage. And I just took off that next year. I took off, brother, from the Delaware coast to San Francisco. So it was 242 days of walking the land, and it was transforming at every level.
Well, now that's extraordinary. So did you sleep out? Did you sort of wild camp in places? Did you find people that you were happy to put you up? Did you have a sort of connection of friends and colleagues that you could stay with? How did it pan out?
It was all the above, all the above. It was everything.
I slept everything you could put your hand to.
Everything. I mean, it was ditches, tunnels. It was private property under trees, hiding in bushes. It was I stayed with over 120 strangers in every kind of environment that you could imagine. And with people from all these different backgrounds, beliefs, positions, races, ages, it was sexual orientations, all these different expressions of human existence, to stay in homes, to move with, and then to obviously have lots of time in the wilderness in Colorado, out in the high desert of Utah and Nevada, just out where there's nothing man-made as far as the eye can see, and wild horses kind of greeting you in the morning as the sun rises. I mean, it just opened me in ways that I would have never thought possible.
Okay, so from then on, tell us a few of the highlights in the last 10 years.
So that walk, because it was so gut-opening, transforming, I really, especially in those last weeks, I was just really, really thinking a ton, feeling a ton around how do I maintain this level of connection and serenity and openness in my life. I don't want the closet. I don't want to sleep in a room. I was transitioning back and figuring out, the closet's kind of nice. Well, the room's kind of nice. So I slowly transitioned back a little bit, but what I knew that I knew I needed to keep walking in some way for my own health and connection. And I trusted so much the invitation of moving the way we're made to as a gateway for just radical human transformation, especially in a time when so many people aren't walking in the USA specifically a certain amount of time. And those that have no choice but to be walking are facing really violent built environments that are made only for the car. I just felt the tension of opportunity to be a voice for people that have no choice but to be walking or using a wheelchair. And then also this loud invitation and getting as creative as I could for inviting people to move into connection through walking. And so just starting to take people on walks was what I wanted to do. I'm like, all right, I'm just going to start hosting these walks, and connection is the thread that's moving through all of it for me. And so I called them Walk to Connect and started getting people out.
And to begin with, was the focus on just getting people to connect with each other, or was it for them to kind of connect with their
the neighborhoods in which they lived? Or was the theme more like an activist showing up how the built environment creates obstacles for people on foot?
You know, I mean, I would loosely say it was a little bit of everything. I know I keep saying that, but it really was. I started hosting, like I would host walks with decision makers around certain like specific environments. So people who were managing budgets. So a little bit of that activism stuff. But I would say, especially at the beginning, the heart of it was anyone just invited, like I would go out and create. And my walks initially started with longer distance. So they were 15, 20, 10 mile routes. Because I really wanted people to go deep into this connecting, healing, opening experience. And so I just started creating these kind of non-traditional routes where we would go through like urban, suburban trails, networks, through little towns, commercial centers, on busy streets for a little bit. Like I'd have these kind of it wasn't just on like a single trail. And it wasn't in just the wilderness. It was kind of mixed use experience, which I really wanted people to have, is this invitation to connect and move through different landscapes. And so I would say the heart of it started with just getting people out, connecting with each other and connecting with the places around them.
You certainly had a kind of activist bent in trying to make people realize how the built environment in the US is basically to ease the flow of vehicles, and pedestrians are kind of forgotten.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's always been holding the hand of everything I do. I mean, it's so, in fact, with Intrinsic Paths now, I've got the Ways of Walking workshop. I've got a lot of other things going with that. One of the other campaigns I have with Intrinsic Paths is pedestrian dignity. So I've got this whole campaign right now where I'm just putting messaging out there. I'm storytelling. I'm doing videos. I'm doing interviews. I'm creating these stickers that I put on really violent intersections and streets. Within that, I'm working on fundraising for beautifying and improving bus stops. And so yeah, that relationship to how do we dignify, how do we humanize the actual places where people live and grow? So there's so many layers to it for me. And I really value the relationship to inviting people out so that they can experience it. So it's not just an intellectual conversation, but we're actually feeling it with our bodies as we move and connect. And then from that experience, then we're also being invited to engage and see and witness those who have no choice but to move this way. And how does all that experiential wisdom shift, shape, prioritize, move, investment, awareness, and a lot of other things? Yeah.
The thing that would be really great for you to tell us a bit is how quickly Walk to Connect grew. You actually somehow struck the right chord, didn't you? Because you've had an amazing success story. So can you share a little bit about how many people have been involved with Walk to Connect and how it has grown?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Thank you for asking that. Yeah. It's amazing. And from the beginning, you know, it became pretty clear to me that so many people who started to join the walks that I would lead, you know, just they, not only did they want to continue, that it was so life-giving for them that they wanted to carry it on. They wanted to invite their people. They wanted to do it in their neighborhood. They wanted to do it at the times of day that worked for them. They wanted to do it at a certain pace. They wanted to do it with a different theme. They wanted to do it at a certain distance. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. And so it was beautiful to watch throughout, especially those first several years, just listening and inviting and motivating people to become what we call walking movement leaders around their own walking experiences. So we created trainings. We started training people to become walking leaders, and we rooted everything in human connection. So we had an experimenting journey of unfolding different ways in which you could maximize human connection on a walking experience, in terms of just how you set up the event, to how you host it, to how you keep people connected after it. Just, we really wanted to care about how people felt connected to the community. And it was, So it's always been a very grassroots organization. We would eventually start partnering with different nonprofits, with different government agencies, with cities, with counties, with, we would be in partnership in all kinds of different capacities. So we would host walking leader trainings for organizations. We would host specific walks for different gatherings. We would do presentations, all kinds of things.
And what sort of geographical area? Is it all within, I mean, Colorado is a huge state anyway, but...
Mostly, yes, Colorado, but we've had a chapter sprout up in Ohio, in Florida, in California, in New Mexico, in Hawaii, in Alaska. And these have been through partnerships with, let's say, public health agencies or partnerships with cities and towns to just related to community engagement, some related to built environment and connecting people to improving places and helping making them safer and more connected for people. Some of them have been partnerships around outdoor recreation and family health. We've gotten really creative to just bring this model into a lot of different spaces. We do have a walking leader in London who's got a walk every Friday morning. We have a partnership track, if you will, with not getting too formal, but we create programming through partners. And then anybody, any individual, really anywhere, we have walking leader training online and they can start connecting to our community that way. So we have walking leaders who've been leading walks now for 6, 7, 8 years. And we have a Walk to Connect community Facebook group that's growing that is a great place for leaders and walkers to connect and get tips and get advice. So I think what's beautiful is our network is this really kind of fluid space, and people kind of, one of our things is just choose in, choose out. There's no pressure. When it feels right and good, lead and host and join. When you need to take some time off, take time off. So it's really this choose in, choose out space that has really been good. As you could imagine, how do you sustain? How do you have staff? How do you get resources for things like this? And it's been a real challenge for Walk to Connect to maintain alongside some of the organic growth. And so we're figuring that out. It's experimenting. It's very grassroots, but we've just created a new membership program and we're hoping that'll help. And so all kinds of things.
There's more than just yourself. Obviously it's grown and you've got colleagues, but how big is the core team?
It's evolved over time. We've had different people. So it was just me for several years at the beginning. And then we had another part-time staff member that joined. And then she left several years ago. And then after she left, there was discernment to transition Walk to Connect into a worker-owned cooperative. Because we really wanted people to have shared ownership, shared decision-making, horizontal discernment. I believe in co-ops so much and what they can do for community, for people, for flourishing relationships. And so we transitioned to a co-op in 2016. And with that transition, so right now we have three core owners, and then we have another kind of tier of ownership in the co-op called movement builders. And so I have moved from a core owner to a movement builder. And so without getting too in the weeds, because it's probably confusing, the movement builder owner isn't making all the core decisions for the co-op, but is still very much involved in helping to sustain it and has access to all the tools and resources and network for hosting walks, for creating all kinds of events, for managing partnerships, for doing fee-based walks, because we do that as well. So a lot of different things there.
That was a sort of quick hop through the last 10 years. Well, yeah. What's up for the next 10 years?
You know, I've always been an artist. And so it's why this last year for me, I felt the need to transition from managing Walk to Connect to just moving alongside of it and really putting most of my energy into intrinsic paths. So the next 20 years is really just being in creative process around my current core themes are walking invitation, engaged contemplation, inner freedom, and human dignity. There's nothing overly formal about those other than just I really care about how people are healing on the inside and the work that we can all be doing to lean into what's going on the inside of each of us and moving that into the outside world so that there are just more opportunities to better care for each other and better care for the planet. And so using walking culture, creating walking events that center around a lot of those themes, creating walking routes that are guided with a lot of that healing invitation, similar to pilgrimage, similar to rite of passage journeys, poetry, art, drawing, all kinds of things. So I'm just really letting my artist out around a lot of different spaces, also with pedestrian dignity. So that's the next 20 years. It's to be determined in a lot of ways, but I feel like there's a lot of blank canvases rooted in the themes that I've mentioned. And I've learned so much through Walk to Connect and all these different things that I've been a part of that it feels right. It feels good. I'm excited.
Let's put you on the spot. Let's have a couple of recommendations from someone who's probably done a greater variety of walking than many of us will ever achieve in our lifetime and has probably walked further than many of us will walk.
I love it. Yeah, I have three of them. So I'll go through them pretty quickly. Just
Why not? Have three. Excellent idea. Great.
One thing when I'm doing talks and presentations and workshops, you know, I'm always just encouraging, you know, it's 1, 2, maybe 3 days right outside the front door. So wherever this meets you, wherever you're listening to this, wherever you catch this, to be inspired, encouraged to be even in the complexity of what would it mean for me to leave my front door and walk for 3 days in one direction? Just be open to all the things how you will turn and evolve, decisions you'll have to make, where you might stay, who might be able to pick you up and take you back, all that it can teach you, because there is something so nomadic in the human body that I just don't believe is meant to be inside of walls as much as we are inside of kind of these almost predictable environments, because I think it's doing harm for how we hold space for so many different things. So that's one. The second would be to go into a movement with someone who is different than you or someone you even disagree with. So using walking as a tool at a park where there's nature, where trees can help hold difference and tension. And you're inviting walking as a tool for how you go into differences instead of some of the defaults of sitting down and having a conversation, sitting down inside of walls and across tables and, you know, where you're kind of bantering just in the mind back and forth, but that you can include the mind, but you're moving the body and you're bringing so much opportunity for openness. So that's number two. And the third would be, if you happen to ever want to travel to, or if you are in Colorado, I created a 12 to 15 day walking route from Fort Collins to Pueblo, which is just kind of down most of the Front Range spine, north to south, right alongside the Rocky Mountains, where the plains meet the Rocky Mountains in Colorado. And you're going through kind of these historic main streets, but you're also going through big open field spaces. You're going through neighborhoods. You're going through some foothills mountain area. The diversity on this route is beautiful, and I've created a step-by-step, day-by-day guide to just show up and walk. That spectrum ranging from I'm carrying a tent and I'm just going to see what shows up to I'm going to have places to stay each night. So those three.
Well, Jonathan, we've heard some fantastic suggestions from you. We've got plenty of things to do, just looking up what you're doing on the web, but how can we get involved more?
Well, you know, I'm going to say three. The first, just honoring those three, like honoring some of those invitations that I said, truly committing in your own body and your own being with your own schedule to move more intentionally and in different ways, inviting people the way that we're made to. So building that into your everyday, replacing a practical trip with a walking trip. I think the second would be if some of what I spoke to was inspiring or interesting, or you want to go deeper, I really encourage people to become a patron of Intrinsic Paths. It's $2, $3, $5 a month, swapping out a coffee or a tea. It feels so important to me to have artists freed up to be creating all these different things, so we can be moving between all the lines that have been drawn. And so I want to be freed up to be creating more walking routes, creating walking practices, hosting all these. So if that is at all of interest, no pressure, all flow, just look up Intrinsic Paths on Patreon and move alongside some of what I'll be creating this year. I have a series coming up called Embodied Proximity, where I'm going to do 10 months of practices around how we can be so much more connected to what's within a 1 or 2 mile radius of where we live. And the third thing would be to consider becoming a walking movement leader with Walk to Connect. No matter where you are, you can connect to this network and start hosting connection-focused walks. You can start moving within our network and within our community. You can start sharing and using our website to post events. Just be invited to engage and connect in any of those three ways. That'd be awesome.
You've been listening to Talking Walking, brought to you by Rethinking Cities and the Museum of Walking. In this episode, you've heard from Jonathan Stalls. If you have any views on this interview or any walking issues, we would love to hear from you. Just follow the links on the Talking Walking website. We look forward to having you along for future episodes of Talking Walking. Written, recorded and produced by Andrew Stuck of Rethinking Cities Limited, our artwork is designed by Ian Martin of Aardvark Graphics, and the music is composed by Simon Sanders of Easytronic.